When Alexander came to the throne, he was only 20, and many considered him unready. It was a bad time for learning on the job. The Macedonian generals and political leaders would have to take him under their wing. They advised him to go slowly, to consolidate his position in both the army and Macedonia, and then gradually reform the league through force and guile. That was what Philip would have done. But Alexander would not listen. He had another plan, or so it seemed. Without giving his enemies in and beyond Macedonia time to organize against him, he led the army south and reconquered Thebes in a series of lightning maneuvers. Next, he marched on the Athenians, who, fearing his retribution, begged forgiveness and pleaded to be readmitted to the league. Alexander granted their wish. The eccentric young prince had shown himself to be a bold and unpredictable king, attacking when he was not meant to, yet showing Athens unexpected mercy. He was hard to read, but his first maneuvers as king had won him many admirers. His next move, however, was still stranger and more audacious. Instead of working to consolidate his gains and strengthen the fragile league, he proposed to launch a crusade against the Persian Empire, the Greeks' great enemy. Some 150 years earlier, the Persians had tried to invade Greece. They had almost succeeded, and it remained their dream to try it again and get it right. With Persia a constant threat, the Greeks could never rest easy, and their maritime trade was cramped by the power of the Persian navy. In 334 BC, Alexander led a united army of 35,000 Greeks across the Dardanelles Straits and into Asia Minor, the westernmost part of the Persian Empire. In their first encounter with the enemy at the Battle of the Granicus, the Greeks routed the Persians. Alexander's generals could only admire his boldness. He seemed poised to conquer Persia, fulfilling his mother's prophecy in record time. He succeeded through speed and by seizing the initiative. Now, soldiers and generals alike expected him to head straight east into Persia to finish off the enemy army, which seemed surprisingly weak. Once again, Alexander confounded expectations, suddenly deciding to do what he had never done before, take his time. That would have seemed wise when he first came to power, but now it seemed likely to give the Persians the one thing they needed, time to recover and replenish. Yet Alexander led his army not east, but south, down the coast of Asia Minor, freeing local towns from Persian rule. Next, he zigzagged east and then south again, through Phoenicia and into Egypt, quickly defeating the weak Persian garrison there. The Egyptians hated their Persian rulers and welcomed Alexander as their liberator. Now Alexander could use Egypt's vast stores of grain to feed the Greek army and help keep the Greek economy stable while depriving Persia of valuable resources.